नमो ओम विष्णु पदाय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्त वृंदा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा। सो थैंक यू ऑल वेरी मच फॉर ज्वाइनिंग टुडे सेशन। सो we have been discussing from Bhagavad Gita, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur's commentary, and in that we have been discussing the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, in which we were discussing on the topic of Buddhi Yoga, and we saw that Buddhi Yoga is of two types. One is Nishkama Karma Yoga, another is Bhakti Yoga, in which we have been discussing about Bhakti Yoga. In which we were in the second chapter 45th verse, where Krishna says, Traigunya Vishaya Veda Nistraigunyo Bhavarjuna Nirdvandvo Nitya Sattvasto Niryoga Kshema Matmavan, where he says that, my dear Arjuna, the Vedas mostly talk about the subject matter of the three modes. Traigunya Vishaya Veda. Okay, someone says that there is some disturbance from my side. Are others able to hear my voice clearly, or is there some disturbance? Can you please let me know? Are you experiencing some disturbance from my side, or is my voice clear? Can you please type on the chat box and let me know? Okay, there is some disturbance. What kind of disturbance? What is the nature of disturbance? Is it the echo? Acha. Okay, I don't know what to do. Let me check. Okay, let me see.
Okay, is it better now? Okay, is this better? Okay, very good. Okay, fine. So, in that Krishna had mentioned Traigunya Vishaya Veda Nistraigunya Bhavarjuna. The Vedas mostly speak about the three modes. So, from above the three modes, adopt a process which is beyond the three modes, is what Krishna suggested. And this was explained by the Acharyas to mean that Krishna is asking Arjuna to give up all the other practices and take up to pure devotional service. So, and then he very elaborately described how pure devotional service is beyond the three modes, and practitioners of pure devotional service are beyond the three modes. So this is what we were discussing. And at the end of it, Vahini Mataji asked this question that, I mean, this seems very unreasonable. You are telling that practitioners of pure devotional service are, okay, now it says, okay, I don't know.
Is this someone is telling that it is sounding from far away? Is this better now? I don't know what's wrong. Something is wrong. Okay. So Vahini Mataji had asked this question. You know, this sounds very unreasonable, because we do see people, devotees, very much acting within the three modes. So how do you say that the devotees are beyond three modes? And in response to this one question, for the last 4 weeks we have been discussing from this understanding of our own practice of devotional service. Last week we completed. I will do a very brief quick overview of what we did, just in case someone could not attend one or more of these sessions. Okay, so we saw the definition of Uttama Bhakti, Anyabhilashita Shunyam Jnana Karma Dhyanavritam Anukulyena Krishnanushilanam. So when we saw the meaning of these four aspects, then when we asked devotees if they were practicing pure devotional service, most of the devotees said no, because they did have other desires. That's what they said. They did have other desires. They were not practicing pure devotional service. Okay. So then we said, okay, if you are not practicing pure devotional service, then were you practicing mixed devotional service? So we saw the three definitions of mixed devotional service from the third canto. And most of the devotees felt, yes, 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 yes. You know, it looks like we are practicing mixed devotional service. Sometimes sattvic, sometimes rajasic, sometimes tamasic devotional service. Then I said, okay, hold on. Let us see the classic definition of Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti from Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto. We saw the definition of Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, where Krishna says that even though the Vaidhi Sadhaka understands that sense gratification leads to misery, but he is not always able to say no to sense gratification. So, and at the same time, he has faith in pure devotional practice like that. And then whenever he succumbs to sense gratification, he feels regretful. So we saw this definition, and I asked the devotees, which of the definitions fits you the most? And practically everyone said this definition fits one the most. And then we understood that then we saw that even though this is the definition of Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, but Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti is also Uttama Bhakti. The Bhakti in Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti is also Uttama. It is also Anyabhilashita Shunyam. So now the question is, here it very clearly says that the person is not able to give up sense gratification, which means he does have sense gratificatory desires. Then how can it be Anyabhilashita Shunyam? This question arose. Then we saw that desires are of two types. Those desires which are born out of value system are called as Abhilasha, and those which arise out of our conditioning or Swabhava, that is called as Anarthas. And we did this exercise of segregating Abhilasha and Anartha, and then we understood that actually we may have many other desires in the form of Anartha, but our Abhilasha is very clean. This we understood. So therefore, bhakti is the bhakti that we are practicing. So Uttama Bhakti has to be Anya Abhilashita Shunyam. But Uttama Bhakti need not be Anya Anartha Shunyam. This is where we understood. And then, therefore we understood what is the difference between mixed devotional service and Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. Mixed devotional service means performing devotional service for fulfilling our material desires. But Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti means performing devotional service while being troubled by material desires in the form of anarthas. So there is a difference. Even though both may indulge in material sense gratification, but one is indulging because he thinks it is all right. Another is indulging because despite understanding that it is not all right, but his conditioning is pushing him to indulge in that activity. Right? So then we saw many Shastric evidence for this. I won't go into these Shastric evidence, where very clearly this difference between Shraddha and Swabhav was mentioned, you know, where Krishna, Arjuna also says, what is it that is pushing me to act in sinful activities even though I don't want to do it? So that disinclination to indulge in sense gratification is coming from his value system or faith. And his but his conditioning is forcing him to still indulge in those sense gratificatory desires, right? So then we also saw from Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Tesham Satata Yuktanam Bhajatam Priti Purvakam, that the devotee constantly desires to be with Krishna and worships Krishna with great love, but still he has Ajnanajam Tamaha, darkness born out of ignorance. And Srila Balde Vidya Bhushan says that the darkness born out of ignorance is actually desires for objects other than Krishna. So on one hand, he says he is an unalloyed devotee, but still has desires for objects other than Krishna. So then we saw, how can an unalloyed devotee have desires for objects other than Krishna? So which means that desire for objects other than Krishna is coming from his conditioning and not from his faith or value system. And then we saw the classic verse, Apichetsu Duracharo Bhajate Mamananyapak, this verse, you know, where he is Sudurachari, but at the same time, Ananyabhak, he worships Krishna with no other desire other than the desire to please Krishna. And we saw this beautiful purport and commentary by Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti and Srila Prabhupada. And then Krishna gives assurance that Kshipram Bhavati Dharmatma Shashvat Shantim Nigachati Kaunteya Pratijanihi Name Bhakta Pranashati. Very quickly that person will become free of contamination. Oh Arjuna, you go and boldly declare that my devotee shall never perish. We saw this. Okay, these were various verses from Bhagavad Gita which described this very clear distinction between these two stimuli, the stimulus of Shraddha and the stimulus of Swabhava. And then we also saw from Srimad Bhagavatam the episode of Ajamil, where when Parikshit Maharaj asks Shukadeva Goswami, how is it, how can people escape hellish suffering? So first Shukadeva Goswami gives the solution of Karma Kanda, and he says that by prayaschitta one can overcome, but immediately Parikshit Maharaj rejects it. He says that, you know, karoti bhuyo vivashah prayaschittam atokatam. I have seen that people who do prayaschitta, they repent and again perform the same sinful activities, and therefore sometimes they refrain from acting sinfully and at other times they act sinfully. So I think this prayaschitta is like an elephant taking bath. I don't think this works. He rejects. But little later, when Parikshit Maharaj, when Shukadeva Goswami suggests, Kechit Kevalaya Bhaktya Narayana Parayana Agham Dunvanti Katsnena Niharami Vaskaraha, he says that, oh, Kevala Bhakti towards Krishna is the way by which one can escape hellish suffering. And interestingly, we had this discussion last time that we all agreed that after accepting Krishna consciousness for many, many years, even we struggled with this syndrome of sometimes refraining from sense gratification or activities which are unfavorable for Krishna consciousness. And at other times, we helplessly indulge in those very same activities. So the question was, why didn't Parikshit Maharaj reject bhakti on the same grounds? Why didn't Parikshit Maharaj reject bhakti on the same grounds? Right? Because if he rejected Karma Kanda because he saw that people indulged in those same sinful activities after rejecting them. But we see it in devotees also. For a significantly long time, this continues. Why didn't Parikshit Maharaj reject? So, the understanding is that if a devotee practicing pure bhakti happens to commit sin again, it is like the bite of snake without fangs. These sins have no significant effect because, and that condition should not be compared to the elephant taking bath. Because nowhere in the Shastras, even in the best of the Karma Shastras, is it mentioned that the path of karma or prayaschitta is capable of destroying the sinful desires. But bhakti does destroy the sinful desires, but that destruction is gradual. So we saw it is very gradual, right? So we did see even Srila Shivaram Swami Maharaj writes, however, devotees who try their best to perfect their sadhana and to serve the mission, but are handicapped by their own conditioned nature, can legitimately expect Krishna's kindness. Right? So, soft-hearted Krishna is sympathetic to the plight of his devotees in Kali Yuga. So, thus, if for reasons other than their neglecting the process, they cannot complete their Krishna consciousness, they will receive Lord Chaitanya's gift of love. Like that. So, if someone, for any other reason other than neglecting the process, so if they are not willfully neglecting the process, but they are victims of their own conditioned nature, then still they can get the mercy of Krishna. And then we saw from Madhurya Kadambini that how this destruction of sinful desires or materialistic desires is very gradual. It happens in five stages we saw. Ekadeshavartini, Bahudeshavartini, Prayiki, Purna, Atyantiki. So we saw that, you know, these four kinds of anarthas are unfavorable desires for Krishna, for progressing on the path of Krishna consciousness. They very gradually get destroyed from bhajana kriya to nishta to ruchi to asakti to bhava and prema. So nowhere in the shastras it is mentioned that as soon as one takes up to bhakti, anarthan vritti is instantaneous. It is very gradual. So therefore one should not say that a person who is struggling with anarthas is not practicing pure devotional service. We saw this. And then I said for a long time, I had this regret that there is nowhere an acharya is presenting this point in at one place in a very complete coherent way. And till we studied Jaiva Dharma, where we saw last time how Bhaktivinoda Thakur very clearly uses the same terminologies of Shraddha and Swabhav and establishes the same point and quotes the exact same verses both from Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita to establish the same points that we have discussed till now. You know, and therefore, we saw that, you know, the word purity is used in many different ways in the Shastras, even in our Gaudiya Vaishnava Shastras. You know, we saw that Jaya and Vijaya, they are pure devotees, but the four Kumaras are not pure devotees. So here purity refers to purity of faith. Jaya and Vijaya were pure devotees, whereas the four Kumaras were mixed devotees. Then we saw Rupa Goswami is a pure devotee, but I am not. Here the purity refers to the conditioning. Rupa Goswami's faith is pure. My faith is also pure. But Rupa Goswami is, there is absolutely no material conditioning, but I am struggling with material conditioning. And then there is another way in which the word purity is used, where it is mentioned, Sridhama is a pure devotee, but Arjuna is not. So here, both Arjuna and Sridhama are actually pure devotees only, but here the word purity is used to indicate purity of rasa, and the impurity is not the three modes. The impurity is the Aishwarya Bhav that is seen in Arjuna's Sakyaras. Whereas in Sridhama, that Sakyaras is Shuddha Sakyaras. There is no contamination of Aishwarya Bhav. And then we saw examples from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita where the word Shuddha is used in reference to Rasa. And Vraja Rasa is said to be Shuddha Rasa, whereas anything outside Vraja is contaminated with Aishwarya Bhav. And then we also did this exercise where Shivaram Maharaj says the two major challenges that ISKCON faces in fulfilling its preaching mission is to transform non-devotees and mixed devotees into pure devotees and to transform pure devotees into perfected devotees. So we saw that there are four types of devotees mentioned here: non-devotees, mixed devotees, pure devotees, perfect devotees. So I asked all of you to share which category do you fall into, and practically everyone said pure devotee. Right? So therefore, the point is the way the word pure is used is in different context. That's what I was trying to mention. And in conclusion, we concluded that Nitya Siddhas like Rupa Goswami, they have pure Shraddha and pure Swabhava. Sadhana Siddhas like Narada Muni, they have pure Shraddha and purified Swabhava. So during sadhana, it was impure. Then after, while they achieved perfection, it became purified. And for sadhakas like us, we have pure Shraddha but purifying Swabhava. We are work in progress. And mixed devotees have impure Shraddha. So this was the long answer for Vahini Mataji's very relevant question. This is where we ended. And the topic, the context of this discussion was where, now I will share the screen, where Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Traigunya Vishaya Veda Nistraigunyo Bhavarjuna Nirdvandvo Nityasatvasto Niryoga Kshemam Atmavan. Right? So, this is the verse in which Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur very elaborately discusses that Nistraigunyo Bhavarjuna, rise above the three modes, O Arjuna. This instruction is synonymous with take up to practice of pure devotional service. This is the instruction. How then, very elaborately, Sri Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur establishes that how it is only bhakti, shuddha bhakti, pure devotional practice that we are practicing, only that is beyond three modes. So we had that elaborate discussion, and it was in this context that Vahini Mataji asked this question, and we had this elaborate discussion on this topic. So any final comments, discussion points, questions on this theme before we proceed? Today we are actually going to proceed to the next verse. Trust me, I promise. Because for the last 4 weeks we have been discussing only on this presentation. And what is it that we are practicing? Are we truly practicing pure devotional service? Or are we practicing mixed devotional service? How do we know what are we practicing? So we had this in-depth discussion on this topic. But still, is anyone not satisfied with any aspect of this discussion? You still have some questions, discussion points. You want to share some comments, please go ahead and speak out. I will pause for a few seconds. Anything anyone would like to ask, add, share? Okay. If there is none, then we will continue. So now, Krishna has told that Arjuna, please don't get stuck up with any of these other processes. Bhakti is only beyond three modes. That, of course, the Acharya has explained, but he did say, Traigunya Vishaya Veda Nistraigunyo Bhava Arjuna. Rise yourself above the three modes, he said. Right. Then Krishna continues his instructions to Arjuna. He says, Yavanartha Udapane Sarvataha Samplutodake Tavan Sarveshu Vedeshu Brahmanasya Vijanataha. Yavan Artha Udapane. Udapane means a well. As the purposes of all the wells, even Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport, in a village there used to be wells, different wells for different purposes. Like for example, to wash yourself after answering to nature's call, there will be a particular well. But when you want to take water for cooking, you cannot take water from the same well. There used to be a different well for that. So similarly for washing clothes, there was a different well. Like that, you know, different wells for different purposes. He says, Yavan Artha Udapane, Yavan Artha, all the, as the purposes of all the wells. Artha means purpose. Yavan means whatever. Whatever purpose is, accomplished by all the wells, Sarvataha Samplutodake, are all fulfilled by a large water body like a river. So river water is flowing water, right? So river water is flowing water, therefore, but well water is stagnant water. So stagnant water can become contaminated. So therefore, if ideally, if you want to follow the highest standards of cleanliness, especially when you wish to worship the deities, then ideally one should not take bath and wash cooking vessels from the same well water, because when you are taking bath from the water which is, or sometimes what people should do is, in very orthodox houses, even there are, even if you go to now, even now if you go to South India, where there are traditional places where the Divya Deshams are there, temples where hereditary families are staying and serving the deities since hundreds of years. So in their houses, if you go, either multiple wells will be there, or if a single well is there, what they will do is, before going to answer for nature's call, they will draw the water and put it in another bucket and keep it aside, and they will not touch. So, and then after coming, after answering nature's call, they will directly go and take bath. So that in a muchi condition, they will not be drawing water. They will not even touch that rope which is used for drawing water. Because if you touch that rope using that hand, you are muchi. So then that, with that rope, you cannot draw water for any clean purposes. This is orthodox standards of cleanliness, actually. So that's because well water is stagnant water, so therefore it is bound to get contaminated. So therefore there are multiple wells for multiple purposes, but the purpose of all the wells can be accomplished in a larger water body, because the sheer volume of water actually neutralizes the contamination. So it dilutes or neutralizes the contamination. Right? So you can answer to nature's call and take bath in a river water, and in that same water you can wash your clothes. In that same water you can carry water for cooking. And it is not considered mochi. So he says, Yavan Artha Udapane Sarvataha Samplutodake. As the purpose of all the wells are fulfilled by a large water body, Tavan, in the same way, Sarveshu Vedeshu, all the results of all types of worship mentioned in the Vedas, Brahmanasya Vijanatah, are fulfilled just by knowing and worshipping the one Supreme Lord. Right? Yata taror mula nishechanena trupyanti tatskanda bujopashaka. This is the point. Therefore, you know, even amongst our devotees, it is, you know, we ourselves speak in this way. That, oh, no, 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 no. We cannot give up this samskara, that samskara, and so many other samskaras as devotees. You know, we cannot give up shraddha rites and all those things. But this is not true. That is why this verse is given. Yavan artha udapane sarvatah samplutodake. Just as the purpose of all the wells is fulfilled by a large water body, so all the results of all the types of worship mentioned in the Vedas are fulfilled by knowing and worshipping the Supreme Lord. So therefore you should not say, oh, in the Vedic scriptures it is recommended that we should do this samskara, that samskara, that samskara. But for whom? It is not necessarily meant for the devotees. So we don't have to, as it is, do all the samskaras, shraddha rites and all those things. In one sense, it's not absolutely necessary for devotees. I know this statement is going to draw questions and discussion points, and knowing it, I am mentioning it. And please, if you have questions, please raise. We will have a discussion. Because I do want to add more on this topic, but only if questions come. Otherwise, I will just move ahead. You know, because we have been recently discussing about samskaras and other such things in our other books that we are discussing. So, if you do have questions, please do ask, and I will touch on this topic. This is a very important point we have to understand. So, but anyway, we will see the purport, and it's a long purport. Maybe we will have time only to discuss this verse today. Let's see. So here, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says, let's see the purport and then discuss these points. So he says, the glory of Bhakti Yoga, being Nishkama and Nirguna, is such that it goes without saying that it is without loss or sin, even if started and discounted. So, Bhakti Yoga is Nishkama and Nirguna. That's what he said. Traigunya Vishaya Veda Nistraigunyo Bhavarjuna. So, it is both Nishkama and Nirguna. Is such that it goes without saying that it is without loss or sin. That even a little performance of bhakti makes one successful is stated by Uddhava in the 11th canto. We saw it in the 10th, in the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita also. Neha vikramana shosti pratyavayona vidyate svalpamapyasya dharmasya trayate mahato bayat. Right. So the same point is mentioned here. Nahi anga upakrame dvamso maddharmasya uddhavan vapi maya vyavasita samyak nirgunatvadana shishaha. My dear Uddhava, because I have personally established it, this process of devotional service to me is transcendental and free from any material motivation. Certainly a devotee never suffers even the slightest loss by adopting this process. However, even bhakti with material desire, that is sakama bhakti, this is mixed devotional service. Okay. Even sakama bhakti is known by the term vyavasayatmika bhakti, since there is worship of only one person. Even sakama bhakti in one sense is vyavasayatmika bhakti, because there is only worship of Krishna, there is not worship of anyone else. This is shown through an example. So he says, the singular case is used to indicate a whole class of wells. Whatever purpose the wells serve is the meaning of Yavan Artha Udapane, even though Udapane means a well. But here, well is used as a class, not as a single well. Okay. So, which means different wells for different purposes. Some wells are used for cleaning the body after passing nature. Some others are used for brushing teeth. Others are used for washing clothing. Others are used for washing hair. Others are used for bathing. Others are used for drinking water. All the purposes of the different wells are served by a large body of water like a lake. In that one lake, one can perform all the activities such as cleaning the body or brushing the teeth. Whereas by using different wells for different purposes, one becomes tired of wandering around, and this is not the case in using the lake. The outstanding quality of the lake water, however, is its sweet taste, whereas that of the well is not tasty. So, therefore, the point is that we may have Karma Yoga for Swarga, Jnana Yoga for liberation, and so on. But by Bhakti Yoga, even if one may have any other desire, all the desires can be fulfilled by practicing Bhakti Yoga only. Right. So, like that. Thus, whatever purposes are served by worship of all the devatas mentioned in the Vedas are achieved through worship of one Supreme Lord by the person in knowledge who knows the Vedas. So, therefore, many times we hear that, are aapko ye problem hai, to aap, you know, you can do this, this prayaschitta, I mean, Nasik mein jao, you know, what is that place? You know, go to Trayambakeshwar and, you know, meet these pujaris. They will say, you know, Kala Sarpa Dosh, ye karo, wo karo, for this demigod, that demigod, do this prayaschitta, that prayaschitta. That is absolutely not recommended for devotees. So just by worshipping Krishna, everything is accomplished. No other kind of worship of pitrus or devatas or anything is needed. Not only is it not needed, it should not be done actually. Because if it is done, then we are compromising our faith in Krishna actually. So, he says, he who knows the Veda is called a Brahmana. One may know the Vedas, but one who knows the import of the Vedas, which is Bhakti, is a special knower. Vijanatah. Brahma Janati iti Brahmana. But here we are not talking about Brahma Janati. Here we are talking about Brahmanasya Vijanatah. One who knows the special purport of the Vedas, which is Shuddha Bhakti or Bhakti for that matter. Right. So, it is said in the second chapter of second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Brahma Varchasa Kamastu Yajeta Brahmana Patim Indram Indriya Kamastu Prajakama Prajapatim. Right. So, he says, one who desires to be absorbed in the impersonal Brahma Jyoti effulgence, he should worship the master of the Vedas. One who desires powerful sex should worship Indra. One who desires good progeny should worship the Prajapatis, like that. So, and then later it is, and in that series of verses, one who wants this, he can worship, you know, this demigod, like that. And finally it is mentioned, Akama Sarvakamova Mokshakama Udaradihi Tivrena Bhakti Yogena Yajeta Purushamparam. One who has magnanimous intelligence, so whether he has no material desire or he has all the material desires or he has desire for liberation, he will worship the Supreme Lord Yajeta Purushamparam, through Tivrena Bhakti Yogena. He will worship the Supreme Lord through Tivra Bhakti. Okay. So therefore, he says, just as sunshine unmixed with clouds or other obstructions is intense Bhakti Yoga, intense. Similarly, Bhakti Yoga, which is unmixed with Jnana, Karma or other pollutants, is intense. So the point here is that even if one may have Anya Abhilasha, forget about not having Anya Abhilasha. One may have other Abhilasha. So even if you have other Abhilasha, he says, don't mix your practice with Karma and Jnana and Yoga. Still perform Tivra Bhakti. So when you perform Tivra Bhakti, then you can accomplish whatever you want. Even if you want to go to Swarga, you don't have to do Karma for that. You can do Bhakti and attain Swarga. So many times we hear, "Arey, if you have a material desire, then don't use the holy name for that." So there are use karma and all that we do here, even in devotee circles. This is not the teaching of Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita for that matter. So if somehow we have some material desire which is haunting us and we are not able to give it up, still what is recommended is we should worship Krishna through Navada Bhakti and not mix that with any of these other karmakandiya activities actually. So he says, one attains fulfillment of many desires by worshipping many devatas. This requires many types of mental concentration. But one can attain all those desires from one Supreme Lord from just one portion of one's concentration on the Lord. One should understand that this concentration on one personality arises from excellent qualities possessed by the object of concentration, which is the Lord. In fact, it is the Lord who actually empowers all the devatas to bestow all those benedictions. So therefore, the Shastras are very categorical in mentioning that only the Lord should be worshipped and not any other demigod. Yes, now we have come to the end of the purport. Now we will open up for some discussions. So if there is any question, comments, please raise your hands. Yes, Lokanath Prabhu. Lokanath Prabhu, you can unmute yourself and please speak. Hare Krishna. Lokanath Prabhu, did you raise your hands? Okay. Anything, anyone else has any discussion points, comments, questions, anything anyone would like to share, ask, add? Okay, interesting. No questions. Okay, but still, I will add some points about samskaras. Okay. So in his book Bhaktyaloka, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur talks about karma adhikar. You know, what are the... Okay, there is a question here in the chat box. What about the samskaras which are done for children like annaprashan, etc.? Okay, I'm going to address this point. That's what I'm writing, because please try to hear this very carefully. And any questions you have, please ask. Let us discuss here. Because we are going to... this is not a Bhakti Shastri Bhagavad Gita session. I'm not going to conduct any exam or anything. This is not for certificate. This is for our personal assimilation and understanding. And we want to keep it as practical as possible and not just theoretical. So if there are any discussion points or questions, please do ask. And I was telling that in Bhaktiya Loka, on the topic of Niyamagraha, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes, for one in Karma Adhikar, what are the do's and don'ts? For one in Jnana Adhikar, what are the do's and don'ts? And for one in Bhakti Adhikar, what are the do's and don'ts? Okay. I will come back to this discussion after we take up Lokanath Prabhu's question. Yes, Lokanath Prabhu. Prabhu, you can unmute yourself and speak. We are not able to hear you. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
You were saying that by performing devotional service, we can get material desires.
And fulfilled, yes.
Yeah, it is also said that if we are performing bhakti in this life, in previous lives, we must have performed it. So,
not necessarily, Prabhu.
Yeah. So, but my question is that devotees are situated different at different material levels. Some are more intelligent, some are more rich, and all those things are there. Mm-hmm. So, how do you explain that? We accept that we are performing devotional service in the first life, that's why we don't have pious credits, or how do you explain this?
Well, if we have taken up to bhakti in this life, then whatever we had accumulated, could be due to piety. Could be due to past pious performances. But having said that, once one takes up to devotional service, one's happiness and distress after accepting devotional service is not provided by the piety that we have gained in our previous lives or the impiety that we have gained in our previous lives. It is directly given by Krishna.
Just by saying that some devotees are more comfortably situated, I always get this doubt that probably I should perform some pious activity also, said so that in next life I should also be comfortably situated. So that was my question, that if we assume that we have performed some devotional service, still we have to struggle in this life. It means that those who are comfortably situated, they have performed also pious activities apart from devotion.
It means is if two devotees are there, one is struggling, another is comfortably situated. So then what we have to understand, I am telling what the Shastras say. Shastras say that Bhagavatam says that for the person who is struggling, Krishna understands that this person needs struggle at this point of his life to actually take up to devotional service more sincerely. And if someone is comfortably situated, then Krishna understands that, this is what the person needs right now to actually take up to devotional service more seriously. Or sometimes our suffering can also be due to our committing offenses. Various kinds of offenses. That also brings us different kinds of suffering, actually.
But Prabhu, you see that after coming to Krishna consciousness also, people remain at different material levels. Usually, the level that they were situated previously.
Correct.
Also, we see that even those who have taken completely to Krishna consciousness, if their karma is that they suddenly become famous, we have examples that some brahmacharis becoming celebrities. So it appears that karma is very strong thing and we should not neglect it. That is what my idea was there.
Prabhuji, aap jo bol rahe hai, sahi hai, but what you are presenting is purely pratyaksha praman.
Yeah.
But
that is true, yeah.
Pratyaksha ke aadhar pe jo anuman hai, you are presenting that. So abhi, for every pratyaksha, there can be multiple causes. फॉर एवरी प्रत्यक्ष प्रमाण, तो आपको दूर से कुछ दिखेगा पर एक्चुअली पास में जाके देखेंगे तो उसका और ही सो रीजन हो सकता है. सो नाउ हाउ आर वी सो श्योर दैट व्हेन समवन इज बिकमिंग फेमस इन कृष्णा कॉन्शियसनेस इट इज ड्यू टू हिज कर्म? कैसे हम बोल सकते हैं? हाउ आर वी सो श्योर?
या जस्ट गेसिंग,
दैट इज गेस वर्क.
या
दैट इज गेस वर्क, बट वैसा नहीं है. तो इसलिए दैट इज वाई प्रभुपाद इज टेलिंग शब्द प्रमाण. शब्द प्रमाण क्यों? क्योंकि प्रत्यक्ष प्रमाण, प्रत्यक्ष और अनुमान में ये फोर डिफेक्ट्स है. सो देयरफॉर वी ऑलवेज कैन मेक मिस्टेक्स. सी हियर हियर यू आर ऑलरेडी टेलिंग दैट यू नो इट्स अ गेस वर्क. सो गेस वर्क मतलब गलत भी हो सकता है.
यस,
मतलब पर गलत है कि सही है हम कैसे हम जान सकते हैं? शास्त्रों को पूछना पड़ेगा. You know, we will have to ask.
No, what I'm saying, bhakti shastras, they always prefer that bhakti should be done over this thing. But the dharma shastras, they stress that pious act, the law of karma is supreme. That like if you see Ramayana, then they will explain that because Maharaj Dashrath had committed some offense, that's why he had to suffer the curse, even being father of the Lord. So they are different level. That is the reason. That
of course depends on this. Yeah. Abhi, yeah. Now that's what. See, we have a choice. You have a choice. I have a choice. All of us have a choice. आपके पास दो है. आपको कर्म के ऊपर श्रद्धा डालना है तो आप कर्माधिकारी बन जाते हैं. आप धर्मशास्त्रों को पालन करो. You follow the धर्मशास्त्रस. If you want to follow, if you have faith in bhakti, then you accept the bhakti shastras. So there is no question. So in case if there is a contradiction between a bhakti shastra and a dharma shastra, is it that only one is right, the other is wrong? No, both are right. So how do we understand? जो कर्म शास्त्र जो बोल रहा है वो कर्म अधिकारी के लिए बोल रहा है. जो भक्ति शास्त्र जो बोल रहा है वो भक्ति अधिकारी के लिए बोल रहा है. सो देयरफॉर द मेन पॉइंट इज रादर देन कोटिंग शास्त्रास फर्स्ट थिंग वी शुड अंडरस्टैंड व्हाट इज माय अधिकार. मेरा अधिकार क्या है? सो इफ माय अधिकार इज भक्ति then I have to follow bhakti shastras. Because जो कर्म शास्त्र जो बोल रहा है वो एकदम सही है पर वो जो कर्माधिकारी के लिए है तो then so कर्माधिकारी को कर्म धर्मशास्त्रस फॉलो करना चाहिए. भक्ति अधिकारी को भक्ति शास्त्रस फॉलो करना चाहिए. बिकॉज दैट इज हाउ द शास्त्रस आर रिटन. द शास्त्रस आर रिटन फॉर पीपल अकॉर्डिंग टू देयर अधिकार. So whatever is our qualification, accordingly we should follow those shastras. So for a devotee, his happiness or his struggles are not due to his karma. This is what Bhagavatam very categorically says. So now the question is...
But that is for pure devotee, no? That is, we are bound by the three modes of nature, no? Still.
प्रभु जी लास्ट दो तीन सेशन आप अटेंड किए क्या?
नहीं नहीं दैट आई अंडरस्टूड बट द वी नो दैट एट लीस्ट आई गेट अफेक्टेड बाय लोअर मोड्स एंड ऑल दोस थिंग्स. सो थिंकिंग दैट नाउ आई बिकम फ्री ऑफ कर्म. सो
नहीं थिंकिंग नहीं प्रभु जी नहीं आई एम नॉट टेलिंग दैट.
या
आई एम जस्ट टेलिंग नहीं आपको मैं पूछ रहा हूं बिकॉज़ लास्ट थ्री फोर सेशंस में हम एलैबोरेटली यही डिस्कस कर रहे थे. हाउ इज अ डिवोटी प्रैक्टिसिंग डिवोटी हाउ इज ही बियॉन्ड द थ्री मोड्स एंड इन हाउ इज ही विद इन द थ्री मोड्स. इसका हम चर्चा बहुत डीपली किए हम. यू नो वी वर डूइंग दिस. सो
यू सेड दैट फेथ इफ आवर डिजायर इज टू परफॉर्म प्योर डिवोशनल सर्विस व्हाट इज आई अंडरस्टूड वी डेलिबरेटली डोंट डिजायर टू means do karma kanda and all, then we come under pure
our verbal. Faith is pure. Our conditioning is definitely within three modes.
Yeah.
Our faith is pure. So when we are talking about साधना भक्ति, तो साधना भक्ति अगर प्योर भक्ति नहीं है तो साधना भक्ति मिक्स्ड भक्ति है क्या? Is it
भक्ति तो like see like people at different levels but they can all come to temple, they can all do the same program, same whatever they can do irrespective of their material situation. But I was talking about influence of our karma on our material situation. Material situation may not affect our bhakti. That is one thing. We can still perform
even
in whatever.
After coming to bhakti, after taking up to bhakti, even our material situations are not due to our karma. मैं आपको एक बहुत ही explicit example देता हूँ. Let us say someone is suffering from cancer. Before coming to Krishna consciousness. After taking up to bhakti, also his cancer may remain. So that cancer which was there before taking up to Krishna consciousness was due to his karma. But the cancer which is remaining after he takes up to Krishna consciousness is not due to his karma.
Actually, our body itself is our prarabdha, the body that we have got.
That is the understanding for those who do not have pure devotional faith.
Like we have, suppose a body will have some genetic distinct composition. Based on those genes, he will have some predisposition for diseases as well as he'll have some skills. So even after practicing, even if a person becomes Brahmachari or Sannyasi, the body remains same and he will be affected by diseases or he'll have some particular
correct thing. correct Prabhuji. That is true. What you say is right. Same body will remain. But I will tell you one thing, Prabhuji. एक मटेरियल एग्जांपल देता हूं आपको. समझिए कि आपके पास एक यू नो यू हैव अ कार, यू हैव यूज्ड इट फॉर फ्यू इयर्स, एंड आफ्टर फ्यू इयर्स यू सेल दैट कार. इट मे हैव द सेम नेम प्लेट एंड सेम कलर, एवरीथिंग इज सेम. सो नाउ माय क्वेश्चन इज, can you say that after you have sold it and taken the money, so can you say it is the same car, same name plate, kal mera tha to aaj bhi mera hi hai, वैसे बोल सकते हैं क्या?
No,
ना वैसा ही है. ये जो body है, once one consciously takes up to devotional service, it looks like the same body, it looks like the same disease. But इसका जो but the owner is no longer karma, the owner is Krishna because it has been sold to Krishna. Of course I can इसका, I will maybe next week I will, you know, there is a very elaborate discussion on this topic in Madhurya Kadambini with lot of proofs. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti mentions this and establishes this point. How do we understand devotees suffering? How is it? Is it due to karma or is it due to is it given by Krishna? It's a very elaborate discussion there. So therefore we cannot use direct pratyaksha to understand the subject matters. That is why our acharyas have written extensively on these topics. Because these are topics which are definitely very prone to give lot of questions and confusions. So therefore, even though you may say that yes, same name plate, same color, same car, so yesterday it was mine, so today how can you say that it is not mine? So in the same way, same body, same disease, same everything, but you know, but you have sold the car, it is no longer yours, you have taken money for that. So in the same time, in the same way, you have paid the price for your all other abhilashas and you have purchased bhakti. So which means Krishna has absolved all your debt. Aapka jo rin hai, wo sab, Krishna has taken over that rin. He is going to pay off that debt. So therefore, even though the body is there, it is no longer karma se karid liya Krishna ne. So then Krishna will decide what to do with that body. So neither can we see karma nor can we see Krishna. Dono pratyaksha nahi hai hamara, for our observation. So both are invisible forces. Sahi hai na Prabhuji?
Yes,
अभी जो जो भी हो रहा है वो कर्म के अनुसार हो रहा है कि कृष्ण के अनुसार है, दोनों दोनों तो प्रत्यक्ष नहीं है हमारे लिए. सो हाउ कैन वी बी सो श्योर दैट इट इज स्टिल रनिंग ऑन द फ्यूअल ऑफ कर्म और कृष्ण. फ्यूअल को तो हम देख नहीं पाते हैं. तो अभी कार में इफ देर इज अ कार विच रन्स ऑन टू फ्यूअल्स, सीएनजी भी है पेट्रोल भी है, तो जो पैसेंजर है अभी सीएनजी खत्म हो गया तो ऑटोमेटिकली वो पेट्रोल या डीजल में चलना शुरू हो जाता है. तो जो पैसेंजर है उसको ही डस नॉट नो दैट द कार वॉज रनिंग एंड इट इज स्टिल कंटिन्यूइंग टू रन. ही डस नॉट नो वेदर इट इज रनिंग ऑन सीएनजी और डीजल. बट जस्ट बिकॉज द कार इज रनिंग डस नॉट नेसेसरली मीन इट इज स्टिल कंटिन्यूइंग टू रन ऑन सीएनजी. Because for the passenger, he can neither see CNG nor see diesel. So the point is, for us, karma is also not pratyaksha. Krishna's hands is also not pratyaksha. So therefore, jo pratyaksha nahi hai, usko shastra ke anusari hum jaan sakte hain. And this is what the bhakti shastra say. Agar karma shastra ya dharma shastra uske viruddh kuch bol raha hai, wo karma adhikari ke liye bol raha hai. For one who is qualified for karma, karma is ultimate for him. But for one who has taken shelter of Krishna, Krishna has taken over everything. That is our understanding. That is what is the understanding our acharyas are giving us, actually.
Okay, boy. Thank you, boy.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, bro. Anything else on this topic? Anyone would like to share something, some thoughts, some questions, anything? If there is none, then I will continue on this topic of samskaras. Because I brought this topic and someone asked this question, I will touch this topic of samskaras. Okay, I was mentioning in previous, this is again a sensitive topic. So please do ask questions. Okay. So when he is talking about samskaras, he is talking about karma adhikar. He says do's and don'ts. Vidhi and nished. Karma adhikari ke liye vidhi kya hai, nished kya hai. Okay. Gyan adhikari ke liye vidhi kya hai, nished kya hai. And bhakti adhikari ke liye vidhi kya hai, nished kya hai. He is discussing this. Karma adhikari ke liye, he says, dashavida samskaras or dues, 100%. Varnashram duties or occupations or dues and so on. So many things he says. Don'ts is sinful life and all those things he says. And bhakti adhikari ke liye, dashavida samskar nahi bolte hain. He does not say 10 types of samskaras. He does not say varnashram, occupation due to one's varnashram. And all that he does not say. So now the question is, samskaras bhakti karne walon ke liye anivarya hai ki nahi? Ye prashna utta hai. Is it, are the 10 types of samskaras non-negotiable for devotees? Or are they even needed for devotees? First thing, let us try to understand what is the purpose of samskaras. This is a very, very important topic we need to understand. Okay. Samskaras Please note this down. Samskaras fix our false ego. This is the purpose of samskara. This may sound very strange, offensive to some people, but this is what, because this is what karma yoga does. What does karma yoga do? So when a materialistic person So what is the nature of a materialistic person? He wants to just enjoy irresponsibly. Okay, he wants to just enjoy irresponsibly. Now, what Karma Yoga wants to do is to make him into a responsible enjoyer. Okay, and then help him transcend material enjoyment. This is what Karma Yoga does. So it takes a materialistic person who wants to enjoy irresponsibly and makes him into a responsible enjoyer. And eventually it wants to make him transcend material enjoyment. So if you want to make a materialistic person into a responsible enjoyer, what you need to do, you have to make him accept rules. You have to make him accept some rules. But rules would be according to designation. Okay. Abhi, if you ask, what is my duty? If I go to Bhaktivedanta Hospital, if someone gives me a job in Bhaktivedanta Hospital and I go and ask, what is my duty? First thing they will ask is, what is your designation? Are you a doctor? Are you a civil engineer who is taking care of the construction? What is your designation? So, duty is connected to designation. So, if you want to make a materialistic person who wants to enjoy irresponsibly, to enjoy responsibly by accepting certain rules, then you can give rules only according to designation. And the designations are Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. These are the designations. But these are material designations. Okay. This is still false ego. Anyone here who thinks that to think that I am a Brahmana, I am a Kshatriya, I am a Vaishya, I am a Shudra, it is true ego. Because if that doubt is there, then we have to take this discussion to a different level. Anyone here who thinks that to think someone is belonging to a particular Varna is true ego, I mean, I hope everyone accepts that that is false ego only, right? So, what Karma Yoga does is it hands over to this person these false designations, false ego, false temporary designations. So, along with this false temporary designations, what comes is responsibilities, duties. So, who will define these responsibilities and duties? The Shastras. Right? So you have to accept you have to become subservient to the Shastras. Correct? So if you want to give responsibility to a person, you have to give him clear-cut designation. So now, how to make these designations clear-cut? That is where samskaras come. So samskaras make these material designations very clear cut. From garbhadana samskar till antyeshti, you know, every single samskara will very firmly fix this false designation. Tu brahman hai, tu brahman hai, tu brahman hai, tu brahman hai, which means what is my duty, what is my duty, what is my duty, what is my duty, he will ask. So then the dharma shastras will bind him in a very responsible way to through those duties, but to fix a very particular designations, the samskaras, starting from garbhadana samskar. Even though as devotees we may do something which we may call as garbhadana samskar, but it is quite different. I will talk about it little later. But the point is upanayana and all that. What is upanayana? You know, upanayana is actually you know, to very clearly tell that now you are a dvija. Now you are a dvija. You see, janmana jayate shudra samskaratu bhave dvija. By samskara you become a dvija. By samskara you don't become a Vaishnava. Right? So the purpose of samskaras is to fix our false ego, false designation, which is not wrong, which is good. Because if we are not bound by a specific false designation, then we will never become subservient to the rules and regulations of the Shastras. Right? So then gradually, when you accept the rules and regulations of the Shastras, gradually there will be purification of heart. Then you will be able to transcend the false ego. Okay? So the purpose of samskaras is, we have to understand, is to fix the false ego. So, for example, vivaha samskar. So, vivaha samskar means, in all of these samskaras, if you see, in the traditional Vedic time, many, many people attend. Okay, many people attend. And the person who is accepting that samskara, there are so many witness to it. They all have seen. Now you have agreed to be a brahmana. So which means so many eyes are on you to see whether you are following the brahmanical duties or not. Whether you are accepting a brahmanical occupation or not. So which means all these samskaras create a sense of, strong sense of this designation. And a strong sense of accountability to live a life according to this designation. So when you accept a very clear-cut designation and duties according to this clear-cut designation, then gradually, because of following the rules of the Shastras, you gradually get detached from material desires, and in that way you transcend your material designation, false ego. So, the gradual path of Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, first fixes your false ego and then helps you transcend the false ego. Okay? So, therefore, samskaras are very critical to help fix this false ego. This is the purpose, which is not wrong if you accept the gradual path. It is very important to fix the false ego. But, therefore, there is Karma Yoga or the gradual path. Okay. And there is Bhakti Yoga, okay, which is the direct path. Okay. So now in Karma Yoga, actually, what Karma Yoga does is fixes the false ego. Okay. And Bhakti Yoga, Karma Yoga, Bhakti Yoga. And Bhakti Yoga, in the beginning only we receive Naham Vipro Na Chanarapati Napi Vaishyo Na Shudro. नाहं वर्णी न च गृहपति न वनस्थो यतिर्वा किन्तु प्रोद्यन् निखिल परमानंद पूर्णामृताब्देर् गोपी भर्तुर् पदकमलयोर् दास दासानुदास. दिस इज राइट फ्रॉम द बिगिनिंग वी गेट दिस ट्रू ईगो राइट. वी गेट द ट्रू ईगो बट इट मे नॉट बी फिक्स्ड. सिमिलरली कर्मयोग ऑल्सो फर्स्ट through karma yoga we get the true ego, but how to fix the we get the false ego through karma yoga. You are a brahmana, you are a kshatriya, you are a vaishya, etc. But how to fix this false ego? Samskaras. The samskaras fix this false ego. Okay, whereas in bhakti yoga the nine limbs fix the true ego. Okay, and then by the gradual process through the samskaras, when it is fixed and you become responsible and practice, you transcend false ego. Okay, you may not get a true ego yet, but by practice of nine limbs you attain perfected true ego in the form of Krishna prema. So therefore these are two different paths. So therefore Bhaktivinoda Thakur does not talk about 10 samskaras, dashavidha samskaras for devotees. Someone may ask, is it even favorable? Well, there are adapted versions of these samskaras. These are not like, I mean, for those who are used to a Vedic system where these 10 samskaras have been followed, you know, they will find it very odd that after becoming devotee, you don't follow any of these samskaras. So therefore, there are adapted versions of these samskaras. For example, what do we do in our Garbhadhana samskara? You know, the parents are requested to chant more rounds, study Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, like that before conceiving, right? Now, this samskara is not the traditional Garbhadhana. This is a Vaishnava adaptation, right? So whether you do Garbhadhana or not, you have always been chanting, always been studying Bhagavatam only. In one sense, you are not doing anything different. Chanting we have been doing every day. Bhagavatam also we hear or read every day. I mean, at least most of the days, right? So what does this do? Does this samskara fix the false ego of the living entity? Chanting the holy name and studying Bhagavatam, will it fix the false ego? No. This samskara will, this is in the strictest sense, this is not a samskara. This is just, you are practicing the nine limbs of devotional service only. This will fix the true ego, right? So this will, you are still practicing the nine limbs only. Okay. So, I don't know. I think I made a mistake. Okay. So, this will fix the, I'm sorry. I made a mistake. Okay, just give me one second. Sometimes this malfunctions this way. Okay, give me just one second. Oh, I'm really sorry. I thought I was, I have been speaking all the while, but I did not realize that I was muted. I'm really sorry. Okay. I apologize. Okay. The last 2-3 minutes I was speaking, but I didn't realize that I was muted. Okay. So, but anyways, but I was telling that the 10 types of samskaras, in one sense, like for example, I was talking about Garbhadana Samskara. In Garbhadana Samskara, we chant the holy names and read Bhagavatam. Whether you chant more rounds or less rounds, whatever it may be, that is going to reinforce the devotional impressions of the child in the womb only. It is not going to reinforce the false ego of the child. So you may want to call that extra chanting as samskara. Or you may not call it. Let me do some extra devotional service so that my child gets very solid devotional impressions. But one thing is, do you think in any of the Dharma Shastras, the Garbhadana Samskar is described as chanting extra rounds and reading Bhagavatam? No. So therefore, if you want to do some extra devotional service so that the child in the womb gets very good devotional impressions, that is very good. But that does not mean that it is the actual samskaras, the actual Garbhadana samskara, which is described in the Dharma Shastra. Because these kind of Dashavidha samskaras, as described in the Dharma Shastras, is absolutely not required for devotees. Some kind of devotional adaptation of these samskaras we may do and call them samskaras. That's okay. That is okay, because many of us, we may have come from a traditional Vedic society where these samskaras were practiced, and it may feel very awkward for ourselves and our family members if we give up these samskaras. So there are Vaishnava adaptations of many of these samskaras, just to not wanting to unnecessarily agitate the other people. But this is not in the strictest sense samskaras. Yes, Lokanath Prabhu.
We see that we separate ourselves as devotees, and we say that we are not supposed to do such things. But if we see that either we see Mahabharata, where there are pure devotees, we see Ramayana, where Lord Himself is doing, or we see the Brajvasis in Bhagavatam, they would not consider themselves separate from the rest of society, and they would perform everything that was needed as per their Varnashram. So, okay. How do you explain this?
Yes, Prabhu. So, ek particular, abhi jo Mahabharat hai, iska we had discussed before only. Mahabharat comes, falls within the category of Dharma Shastra only.
But that is history, Prabhu. That has taken place, and the Lord Himself was there.
We are not debating that, Prabhu. It is a history only. I am not debating that. But the point is, teachings of the Mahabharat are, in one sense, it was history, and these kings who were pure devotees, they had dual functions. They had dual functions. One, to set the right example for people. Lokasangraham evapi sampashyan kartum arhasi. To set the right example for people who had karma adhikar, but internally they were devotees. Right? But we may not have such kind of these things. So you may say, Mahabharat mein inhone kiya, and Ramayana mein bhi unhone kiya. So whatever they did, but which of those activities we are supposed to practice? Are we supposed to ask Ramayan, or are we supposed to ask our Acharyas? Who is going to answer that question?
But all three met with Guru Sadhu and Shastra.
Which means, in Guru Sadhu and Shastra also, if there are contradictions, who will resolve? Sadguru will only resolve, na?
No, we, of course, whatever I said, we should try to follow. But this doubt is there, that to me it appears that this segregation appears to be recent, maybe from from medieval time where the bhakti and historically where the bhakti movement started.
So whose history, Prabhu, are we? Who wrote this history?
I'm talking about the whatever we consider history, modern history.
Whatever so we consider phase, history, matlab, the point yeah, is...
Like one point is, one is history is Ramayana and Mahabharata. And the traditional history, what this thing, academia, they accept. So there is a time of bhakti movement where it is said that maximum devotees took place, maximum devotees appeared, and they started a bhakti movement. And there is a time, at the same time, Mahaprabhu was also there. Then there was Goswami Tulsidas, then there was Mirabai, and Sant Tukaram, everywhere this happened. So it appears to me, it is not based on his scripture, that this segregation between devotee and thinking themselves to be from separate from the society, it appears to me that if we take evidence, it appears to be coming from that era only onward.
If we see
the life of the devotees, it, like if we see life of devotees from Marvin Puri onward. We see that they were, he said, now I don't want to do any vandana and all that thing because I am absorbed in Krishna. But if you see previous devotees who are mentioned in scriptures, so they, all of them were performing all of their activities, whatever they were supposed to perform. But we say that they were performing externally, internally, they were not performing.
So have a choice, Prabhu. You still have a choice to choose your role model.
Yeah, that is there, but what I feel is that the model of bhakti that we practice is somehow different than what was practiced traditionally. That is, but
traditionally you were not there, I was not there, at least in the same body,
whatever is recorded, like if you see, there are also devotees, those who are at the time of in Dwapar or Treta and this thing. And here, now also it is being performed. Maybe
Prabhuji,
it is much
whatever our acharyas like Rupa Goswami and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu established, they have established it based on the teachings of Srimad Bhagavatam only.
Yeah,
the other Bhakti Shastras only.
If we see all the devotees of Srimad Bhagavatam, then they all of them followed the Varnasam the way it was meant for everyone. And they didn't.
Prabhuji, that is a very sweeping generalization.
No, but can you give evidence that someone didn't perform even one devotee who didn't perform the, maybe Abdhut Brahmana or someone, but
Prabhu,
otherwise...
Okay, I am not, see, whether a particular activity is Varnashram or Bhakti is a debatable thing. Because what defines whether, if some activity is performed in the mood of ye mera varnashram dharma hai to main karunga, so with that understanding when someone does that, it is varnashram. But oi activity agar if someone does are ye mera bhakti ke liye anukul hai to main karta hu, so that activity is no longer varnashram, that is bhakti only. So a particular activity, whether it is bhakti or varnashram, is actually defined not by the activity itself, but with what impetus, with what understanding one performs that particular activity. So, just because particular activity, and most of the personalities who come in Bhagavatam were mostly kings. And kings had this dual responsibility of Loka Sangraha, to set the right example for the people in general.
But even Brajvasis, if you see, they acted as Vaishyas and they did whatever demigod worship and whatever was needed, they did that. So
Prabhuji, main isliye main bol raha hu.
Prabhuji,
aap again, you are quoting Pratyaksha Praman.
I'm quoting from Shastra too.
Nahi.
It is not Pratyaksha Praman.
Nahi. Shabda Praman alag hai, Prabhuji. Shastra se quote karna is not necessarily Shabda Praman. You are quoting a particular event from the Shastra, but the heart of the personality who performed that activity, that is actually Shabda Praman, Prabhuji. Abhi, what activity was performed is what you see. Why he is performing what he is performing is what we are trying to understand. So that is why Prabhuji, 10th canto pastimes and all, without the Acharya's commentary, we cannot understand actually. When the gopis went and offered their prayers to Katyayani Devi, they are not ordinary people. And it's a very deep subject matter. So
yeah, that's why initially I didn't quote Brajavasi. But see, it appears to me that because we our intelligence is very low, and so Acharyas have made it very simple that we are supposed to do this way. But the separation between Vaishnavas and Brahmanas, or between karma and bhakti, it appears to me that it was not so clear cut. Like even if you see, they would
was,
call.
See, it, we are Prabhuji. We are talking here as if we have been living for the last 5,000 years same body.
I'm talking about from scriptures only. If you see that Parikshit Maharaj.
Prabhuji, scriptures ko to acharyons ka tika tippani se hi hum samajh sakte hai na Prabhuji.
No, what I'm saying, out of Guru, Sadhu and Shastra, like every sampradaya will have their own acharya.
Correct.
And they will accept what whatever their acharya's explanation is.
Correct,
there.
correct.
So, I was just
that is why I'm telling Prabhuji, yeah. You still have a choice to choose your sampradaya.
No, what I'm saying is that if we see objectively, I mean, if you see that, being a part of a sampradaya and that's why following that is one thing. Or, and if you try to just analyze it, maybe intellectually or something. So that is what I was trying to.
Prabhuji, objective analysis of this, Abhi. Objective analysis is when you have the explanations of agar aapne mujhe bola ki dekhiye Prabhuji Ramanujacharya ne aise 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 likha hai par wohi iske liye Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur ya Prabhupada ya Jiva Goswami ne aise 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 likha hai, then we can have an objective discussion, objective comparison. But abhi waisa nahi hai to hum how we can compare Prabhuji, because here, neither are we quoting Ramanujacharya, nor are we quoting Madhvacharya, nor are we quoting Jiva Goswami or Srila Prabhupada. Then how can we make an objective comparison here?
Like Prabhupada says that, getting over time, we can stop anytime. Prabhupada says that Lord Buddha was rejected by people because although he was incarnation, he didn't accept the scriptures.
Correct.
So he does specify that we should accept scriptures. But like you, what I see that you said only on acharyas and not so much.
I said acharyas. Matlab acharyas will explain the scriptures only, na Prabhuji. Acharyas unka mat ko todi prasan karenge, na Prabhuji. Acharyas will quote from the scriptures only, na. Koi ek acharya boliye jo unka hi mat bol rahe hain bina shastra ko quote karke. So acharyas means they will quote from scriptures only, na.
Yeah.
So, if someone is not quoting from scripture, how can you even accept him as an acharya? What to speak of an acharya? How can you even accept him as a devotee if he is not quoting from Shastra? So, therefore, Prabhuji, we have to study what our acharyas have given very clearly and deeply. But many times we don't study what our acharyas have given, but we read from everywhere else. That's why we see a lot of contradictions actually.
I mean, different devotees, like on this system of in ISKCON also, there are many devotees who are very strongly for this thing, samskaras. Some are there that we should not follow samskaras.
That is why I'm telling Prabhuji, samskaras mein there are Vaishnava adaptations of these samskaras, maybe bola. There are Vaishnava adaptations of these samskaras. But wo traditional jo samskaras, jo dharma shastra ke hisab se jo samskar hai, that reinforces our false ego. We don't accept them as it is. But Gopal Bhatta Goswami ne Satkriya Saradipika mein, he has given Vaishnava adaptations of these samskaras, which is in one sense actually practicing the Navada Bhakti only with something which externally looks like the Karmakandiya samskara, but it is different. So the point is, they are not non-negotiable. These 10 types of samskaras are not non-negotiable for devotional service. That is the point. So, I mean, of course, we can continue this discussion in our next session. We are already 10 minutes over time.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
But definitely next week, we'll continue it, Prabhu. We'll continue this discussion and we will try to... I mean, in the meantime, if you can bring in some more, proofs from, if it's not from our acharyas, you can get it from other acharyas also, to substantiate this point, we can definitely discuss. Even otherwise, we will discuss this point.
Okay, Buddha. Thank you, Buddha.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. So I apologize for going over time. I generally try to be a little bit on time, but sorry. So we will continue this discussion. Next week, we will not have, because next week I will be traveling. So it will be difficult for me to take. So next Friday, we will not have this session. So the subsequent Friday, we will continue our discussion. So thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur Pad ki jai. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.